I'm Tanner Olson, and this is the Walk a Little Slower podcast. Here we talk about hope and heaviness, creating and continuing joy and sorrow, life and God, questions and answers, and everything in between. This is a podcast where you are invited to slow down, to lean in, to hold fast, and to eventually keep going. Welcome. Welcome back to another episode of the Walk a Little Slower podcast. It's me, your host, Tanner Olson, and I am just happy to be here, and I'm just happy that you are here as well. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing some conversations, some interviews with authors, creatives, and friends. I'll also be releasing a couple of shorter episodes where I'll just share a poem or maybe a writing or a story as well. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you can see all of the interviews and conversations and episodes when they are released. Today's episode is with my friend Susie Tirimore. She is a wife, a mother, an artist, a poet, and as of recently, an author. She's the author of the book Finding You Here, a poetry collection. And I first met Susie, through the internet. She reached out and we did some creative consulting together. And a year later or so, she had a book of poetry, her very own book. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about writing and creating, and she's going to share a couple of her poems as well. And I really think that you're going to enjoy the conversation. The audio is going to be what it's going to be, but Susie is incredible. She's kind and honest and hopeful, and she really gives what she has. She knows the Lord, she knows what hope is, and she shares that. So I hope that you are encouraged by our conversation. When you're done with the episode, make sure to check out the show notes so you can purchase her book of poetry, Finding You Here. It's a great book, and I hope you enjoy the episode. So with that, here's my conversation with my friend, Susie. Yep, and I'm happy to edit anything, or you can just be like, oh, edit this, and then happy to do it. It's not a problem.
I just figure, if I say something that you say, oh gosh, that's a mess, just take it out, please. Whatever you say, this is not my natural thing is to chat. I write the poem, yes. But that's...
You write the poem, you're not the...
Yeah.
And that's one thing. So just to let you know, the podcast is happening right now. There's no fancy introduction. It's just us talking. Okay. But that's one of the things I think about writers is nowadays you can write the thing, but then you also have to be able to talk about the thing and to share the thing.
Right.
And that's a hard job. I once heard that the easy part is writing the book. The hard part is to sell the book.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm learning. Definitely learning. I didn't think about this part. No one you kind of know writing, but you don't know this other half of the thing. Right.
Yeah.
So
it's a whole new world, but I think it's every time that I get to talk about the books that I've written and shared, I am reminded of, just how thankful I am that this is something that I get to do with my life. I was talking with somebody the other day and they were like, it's like you have to kind of take a step back and see the book or the thing that you've created as something that is good. And then to offer it, it's not a self-serving thing. It is I created this because I believe in it. Now,
absolutely.
Would you buy it?
Yes. Yes. Well, and I've started seeing it like, this is God's thing, right? And he's got a message and he's got people who need to hear it. And so I don't want to get in the way of, just because I feel shy about it. But, there's people that are really touched by it or it really helps them. So then you think, I don't want to hold it back because I'm insecure or whatever,
Yes. Yes. I think that's how I was early on in my career was I was, I kind of talk about it the same way that I talk about when I was younger. I was afraid to knock on doors. I did. It was the even if it was my friend's house, I hated knocking on doors. I hated the whole process of walking up the sidewalk up to their front door, knocking and waiting. I did not even so even when I was in like high school and someone knew I was going over to their house, when I would get there, I would either text them or call them and say, "Hey, I'm here. Can I come in?" And they'd be like, "Yes, just come on in." I was like, "Are you sure?" You know, and I feel the same way is true. At least there's a little bit of that, or at least a little bit that I have to fight back against when it comes to selling or sharing the things that I have created. There's a little bit of there's a hesitancy or an anxiety that kind of is tied along to it. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, absolutely. Just kind of
Yeah.
like the same sort of, yeah. So it's somehow it's a part of you. And so it kind of is sort of, it feels definitely vulnerable to share, So,
Yeah. All right. Well, let's back up a little bit because we've started the conversation, but people who are listening are like, who's he talking to? Would you introduce yourself?
My name is Susie Taramora, and I am a mom of four kids. Two are married, and one I have a one grandbaby, and one in college, and one she's finishing up nursing, and one ninth grader. So, and I like to do arts, and I write, and I also teach art and to homeschoolers, and I homeschooled my kids up till this year. So I love to teach, and yeah, so that's me.
How did we meet?
How we met is. Okay, so my friend knew I liked to write poetry. And so she sent me out of the blue on just a regular every day. I got something in the mail and it was your book. And she said, you gotta get to know this Tanner Olson. I thought you'd like his work. So I read your work and I loved it because I think we have common interests, right? We both love the Lord, lo love the Lord, we love God, we love faith, hope, and poetry. So anyway, so I loved, I'm a fan, and then I was trying to figure out my own journey, and I saw that you did consulting, so I called you up, and it's been so much fun.
And now we're real life friends. And you just released your first book of poetry, which is I really love the title, Finding You Here, a poetry collection. Would you, before we talk about the book, would you share a poem from the book?
Absolutely, sure. All right. So I will share this poem called My Red Sea. All right. So with before each poem, I have a Bible verse. So I'm going to read the Bible verse that goes along with the poem, and then I'll read it. So the Bible verse is Exodus 14, 13 through 14. Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch. The Lord rescue you today. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. My Red Sea. Thank you, God, that you are good. Even when my story takes a turn and leads me to the shore of an angry sea, and I'm left wondering how this can be. I stand at the edge of this impassable obstacle and scratch my head. Where did I go wrong? Did I hear you right? How in the world could this be where you are leading me? But the water laps cold over my toes, and the Egyptians are coming, so I must go through the sea. Yes, you invite me to see your power and see your strength and see your hand rescue me. The water rises high on each side, and I walk through on a path that's dry, a path I didn't know was there, a path that's taking me somewhere beautiful and somewhere new, because nothing is too hard for you. You made a way and will take me through. And when I'm safe on the other side, I will look back on the ocean wide and remember the time you led me on a path impossible through the sea.
I
So,
love that. Tell me a little bit about that poem.
That poem came out of a season in my life where I was basically, there's times where you're trying to follow God, you've been praying about something, and you feel sure He's leading you somewhere, and then you kind of come to a dead end. It kind of feels stuck, or something doesn't go the way you thought. because a lot of times I think, oh, God's leading me here. Everything's going to go as I planned and everything's going to just be all, you know, like he says, I'm sure this is where I'm to go and everything's going to work out. And basically what I've found more in my life is that I think that God actually leads us to these places where we end up having to be totally dependent on him to see us through. And I was thinking about these, you know, the Israelites that, you know, in the Bible, they're led to this place. And I was thinking about what they must have thought, you know, and in Psalms, it actually says, you know, that God led them to this place. So it wasn't like they made a mistake. It wasn't like they, you know, turned the other way or, you know, they did something wrong, but actually God leads us. So I was thinking about the times that God actually leads us to these spaces, actually to show us more of himself. And that's the real gift, right? That what he wants is us to know him even better and even deeper and to know his power and strength. So, you know, what a gift it was that he led them through the sea, because, you know, he knew what was coming and he knew that they needed to know their God was big, their God was powerful, their God was strong. And so I'm just learning that sometimes, you know, I get to those stuck places and I feel mad or like wondering what's going on. And usually it's just God showing more of himself and saying, hey, look it, I'm here, and learn to trust me and learn to walk with me. And that's the gift. So, yeah.
That is the gift. It's almost as if like nothing is wasted.
Nothing, you know? Right?
And, yeah. And there are a lot of times where you begin to feel like this feels like a big waste or where did I go wrong or did I not listen? And it's, well, God's been pretty good. Is pretty good at making something out of nothing, and turning stories around. And so even if it's like you reach the dead end, it's all, oh, but there's a, oh, I can go left here or I can go right here. And there's always, there's always a little bit more. I think that's when I was listening to you read that poem, what came to mind was kind of what poetry invites us to do. It invites us to really, to pay attention, and I think a lot of times we're always, we want to look at what's ahead, and poetry invites us to kind of take time to look back. And I think you'd probably agree with this, that looking back helps us to then move forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Or sometimes I think for me, I don't know if you find this, is that it's even just looking at what's now and saying, okay, where am I now? And what is going on now in my life? And how do I make sense of it? And that's basically what, you know, my life and this book is merely a struggle, like going through the everyday struggle and saying, okay, you know, there's some things happening and how does this fit with you, God? And what is, you know, like right now I'm feeling these things. And so how does that connect with what's, you know, what you're saying? And poetry, I think, is a great way to just sort of dwell in something a little bit, like sit in something, whether it's an emotion, whether it's something that you're looking at. It's like a lingering. I don't know if you find that, but it's like stay a little longer with that story and think a little harder on that. And that's what I love, right? I love just slowing down, like you say, right? You say that a lot.
Too much, so, maybe too much.
No, I love it.
Sometimes I feel like a broken record when it's like, I'm always saying like slow down because I'm bad at it. I had a conversation with somebody the other day, actually it was right before I spoke at this, at an event. I was talking with two guys who were in school to become pastors, and they were kind of explaining and in some ways lamenting about all the books that they have to read. They're like, we're always reading a book and going to the, and one of the guys was just like, I just want to ruminate on one book, like, and just sit with it. And we kind of talked about how, you know, cows, they just chew and chew and chew and chew. And I feel like I've gotten to do that with my work as a poet. Like, if we're going to talk about, you know, whatever it may be, trust or faith or grief or wondering, like, I get to just sit with that thought, with that idea, with that heaviness or hope, and just chew on it.
Yes.
And kind of see what comes out. And what we were saying, like, it made me think of, had a pastor once, and he would always talk about, he would always say, always be praying the questions, you know, God, what are you up to? And how can I be part of that? And that kind of like what you're saying of like, what's happening right now. And so it's the, that invitation to, I don't have to just wonder about what's happening. I can actually ask God, what is happening? What are you up to? And then how can I be part of it as well? Let's let's talk about your book. How did this all come to be?
Okay, so my book, the way back story is I've always been sort of a poetry has always mm-hmm. been my, you know, something I didn't plan to like write poems. I just do. Yeah. Right. So even as a little girl, like I had this memory as a little girl, I like one of my big accomplishments as a little girl in first grade was we had to write poems, and my teacher said, choose a color. And, you know, so I chose the color orange because all the little girls were choosing pink and purple and I felt bad for orange. So I'm one of these people that feel, and I have orange hair, you know, I have red hair. So all the kids in class call me orange hair. So I wrote this poem. I'm super proud of it. So anyway, like it or not, poems have been in my life. It's just part of the way I journal. But what happened was we have four children and I have an autoimmune disease. So a lot of high risk pregnancies. And there was a big gap for our third child because our third child had an emergency C-section. We almost lost her. So we thought no more babies. God blessed us 8 years later with a fourth. But there's this big gap. So we started praying about, you know, maybe we should have one more, and really leaning into God saying, should we have one more baby? You know, and we got all green lights. Doctor said, give, you know, go ahead. I was older, so it was kind of even more high risk. But we really felt like we should try. And sure enough, got pregnant the quickest we ever had. And I was confident that this was God's plan to have this baby. And so anyway, sure enough, at 16 weeks, you know, there's some things going on. But I said, no, I'm not going to worry. I know this is God's plan. I'm not going to lose this baby. And sure enough, we did. We had the baby, you know, had died in utero. So that really put me in a tailspin, right, with my faith, with my life. You know, this was October, baby was due in March. So at that point, I had a lot of questions about God and like, okay, wait a minute. You know, that felt kind of mean. Like, where are you? What is going on? You know, why? But come January of that year, somehow on the internet, I don't remember exactly where I got, I decided to take this challenge to write one poem a week and post a poem and post a piece of art. And the challenge was more to just share with people because I really not comfortable with that. So I thought I gotta see if I can get comfortable. So I did that. And that ended up being amazingly, I did it, which is a miracle because I never can. I don't know about you, but I can never, like a month would have been a miracle, but I did 52 weeks. Like that's God,
that's
right?
Wild.
So that's the habit began then. So I started just being more public about my, you know, posting or letting people read my poetry. Anyway, so a couple years ago, I realized I had a bunch of poems. And so I felt like God was kind of leading me to put them together. And so I put them in this book. So that's the story about how it came to be.
Well, that's a lot to be uprooted by grief and questions. And you get to that place of, well, I thought life was going to look this way. And then you begin, at least for us, for me, that I begin to, you begin to second guess yourself or second guess God. And, but it kind of goes back to, you know, the poem that you shared earlier of really just kind of being invited into God's faithfulness and his goodness, and that we can look back and we look back and we still see all the hurt and the pain. I mean, especially we're just talking about the Israelites in general. They get through and they look back and you're like, well, it wasn't pretty. None of it was pretty.
No, right.
But there's still, There'll be still hope, and God is still walking with you, and we're learning something in the season, in the moments. But to be uprooted by those questions is a lot. But I want to, you said something I thought was pretty important and kind of profound too. And I talk about this a lot, but you kind of get to this place where you begin to call yourself what you want to do, right? So you begin calling yourself a poet. Did it take a little while for you to believe that that was true?
Yes, actually, you helped me with that, Tanner. Yes, when we met, you said, "Go ahead, call yourself a poet." Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing, I struggled with that, in the sense of, you feel like you have to have some credential, or even to have a book, right? Or something. You have to have something to say, "Oh, now I'm official, an artist or a poet." And yeah, and I guess that's where I, it was helpful to have your encouragement, or somebody alongside of you to say, "Okay, there is no credential. There is, there is no, there's no, oh, how many books till you get to, or how many pieces of art till you can say you're an artist, So I don't know how, when you ended up, feeling that way." Yeah.
It took me a long time, and I was like, oh no, wait, I am just be I actually had this I have a memory of I was working for a camp full time. I was about 24, 25 years old, and I was walking with one of the guests at camp that week, and she happened to be she's probably like 50s, 60s, super nice lady, super nice. And I told her, I was like, I want to be a writer, and I've actually been writing a lot. And her response was, well, are you published? And I was like, no. And she goes, well, then you're not a writer yet. And I was like, I have been taught not to disagree with women, but I'm pretty sure you were wrong. I was like, I just don't, I just like, I don't think that's true. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why I told you, because for me, that was a huge hangup. I was like, I felt kind of attacked. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to feel. I wanted to be encouraged to do this thing, not be like, well, you're not doing it, so when are you going to do it? Like, no, if you're putting words down, like, you're a writer, you know? So yeah, I'm glad that you stepped into that and believed me when I told you, because it was true. And since you're a poet, I think this is a good time for you to share another poem from the book.
All right. So this poem is called Uncomfortable. So the Bible verse is 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. And it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." This is called Uncomfortable. "Like a rock in my shoe, there are things in my life, places and spaces that are, let's say, uncomfortable. Like a tag in my shirt, things just don't feel right, bothersome, itchy, and perhaps even painful at times, because the hard place, it rubs. But there's no pebble to find, no tag to remove, and this uncomfortable looks like as if it's staying. Like a house guest who sits in my place on the couch far too late into the night, I feel displaced, moved into a different view, disgruntled and not sure what to do. I ask you, what do I do with this disturbance that I can't get away from, that I can't remove? And the answer comes soft and true. Be open to receive its discomfort, because the uncomfortable, it's shaping you. It's wearing off the edges, taking off the sharp, working beautiful things down into your beautiful heart. So don't be afraid of uncomfortable. That pebble rolling around in your shoe, it's the very thing I'm using. It's the undoing that is making you new. So,
I love that. Oh, tell me about that poem.
So that poem basically, again, was at a season in my life when things were just really out of control for me. There were things happening that I had no, I couldn't fix. There are things going on around that just, I really liked, I like a sense of control. I mean, I don't know, but it's just kind of a human thing. I think we all feel better when we feel like we, have a plan, and the plan works as it's planned, and
And plans are good and plans are great. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Right. And so, but the longer I live, the more I see that, God has a bigger plan, and he has his own plan. And even though I argue with him and say, hey, I like my plan, but his plan is always up to bigger and better and more beautiful things. And so, and I think it was kind of an invitation from him to, instead of pushing that uncomfortable away, to say, okay, and, Lord, lean into the uncomfortable and lean into him, right? Because he is the one where the true comfort is going to come from. Like, feel like the sense of, if all my circumstances are going right, I'm going to feel good and feel comfortable. But we all know the next time there's something else, right? Something else. And, again, it's his invitation back to himself to say, I am where life is. I am where the abundant life is with me. And so come back and find comfort in me. And this, and the, also the idea of look at those circumstances again, with me comforting you, and see how those circumstances are actually bringing really good things in your life that needed to happen. So, I mean, even like this, what we're talking about, being a poet, and that was uncomfortable for a while to call myself that, right? But there was good things stepping in there.
Do you know how to make a room full of people uncomfortable in 10 words or less? By asking them the questions, do you want to hear a poem?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yes.
When I read through scripture, it all feels, as we're talking about this,
yes,
it all just kind of feels like a lot of uncomfortable situations.
Yes.
Especially like when we get into the stories of Jesus,
yes. Yes.
Well, that feels like kind of an uncomfortable situation. Oh, that yes. feels a little uncomfortable too. You think, and then you put yourself in the perspective of like a disciple or an onlooker or like whoever it may be. It's always just like a little bit uncomfortable, but that's kind of where growth begins to happen.
Exactly. Right. That's the thing, is like, part of us, there's these split parts of us. Part of us really wants to grow and do exciting and new things. But then there's this other part of us that wants the comfort. And so I think that's the beauty, is that he's saying, with me, you can have both, right? You can have the comfort, because I'm not going anywhere, and I am called the comforter.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, we're going somewhere, we're going to go, and I'll give you the comfort when the outer circumstances are not so comfortable. So,
it's a, you're sitting in a nice chair as you're traveling up a bumpy road. It is just like,
with no idea where you're going, right?
Like
that's
no.
the other thing, right?
Nope.
Like, what's happening? I don't even know where I'm headed, actually. Just, I'm with you. That's all. Right.
And I think that's kind of how trust is supposed to be, a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's the,
I think so.
Okay. What did writing this book change in you?
I think that, I think what we spoke about before, it just actually, I think the thing was that it was a real step of faith for me to do it. Cause I think I'm more comfortable just, in a social setting, I would be more comfortable in the kitchen helping out instead of chatting with people. So, but what I've found is that by just following God into this and saying, this is just really about you, God, I don't know, who's going to even read this. Like, I don't even know where this is even going, but I'm just going to do it, whatever you say. And then I've found that as this little, I mean, I think about the book like a little boat or like a seed, that's kind of, you kind of put it out and off it goes. And what I've found is, people come to me and would say, oh, this was so comforting. Or I read this to my dad who was suffering, and this really gave him comfort. And all of a sudden you realize it's much bigger than you, and, bigger than your fears, that that God is actually at work, and he's doing something through those words. And that was just something really, helpful for me to go, okay, wait a minute, you know, let go of all those things that you, those really aren't important, that this book has its own journey in the world. And I don't know, it's kind of like that letting go has really been good for me. You know, I don't know exactly. I'm still sort of figuring that out, you know. So.
Well, I would like to read one of your poems. This will make you a little uncomfortable having somebody else read one of your poems. It's
I'm excited because you're
it's
like
titled
great.
it's called Never Late. And it's from Psalm 27:14 is the intro verse, which says, "Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. And then you wrote this: "Your timing is perfect, protective and kind. You are never running late and are never behind. You are not too fast nor too slow, and you always know what is right. Because you are just and you are right, and you tell me everything will be all right. So you say, hang on and hang tight. You know the story, you know what to do, you know what is coming, and you know the past too. So I will trust and accept and watch and wait because you, my God, are never late." It's very good. It's very
Well,
good.
it was very special to have you read my poem, Tanner.
I really enjoy the way that you write. I think this is going to be a compliment. At least I hope it is a compliment, that the way that you write feels very true to who you are as a person. I don't read your stuff and not feel like I don't know you. I read your poetry and I feel like I know you even more. It's not like a different, you're not, there's the separation between you, the person, and you, the poet. It's very, very small. And I think that's an important thing, that you come across true. And you do. So
That's nice. Thanks.
I love this book. All right. Before we say goodbye, I want to play a closing game. It's called Finish the Sentence. I will start the sentence. You will finish the sentence. You do not have to turn it into a poem. You can just answer the question. It's always fun. Okay. The very first one is, the perfect breakfast is.
A bagel with cream cheese.
Okay, what kind of bagel? What kind of cream cheese?
Depends on the day. Sometimes chocolate chip. Probably chocolate chip. Yeah.
Yeah, with plain cream cheese.
Plain cream cheese.
Oh
Could be
yes,
cheese. I do like cheese bagel. Cheese bagel with
yes.
veggie cream cheese.
Ooh, and now what are you having coffee? Are you a coffee drinker?
I like mocha, right? So like a fake coffee drinker, not like a real, like more like a, you
You
know,
like
chocolate drinker.
chocolate milk that's gonna wake you up. I got
Yeah,
you.
exactly. That's it.
All right, the next one is, I don't know much, but I know for certain that.
That God loves me. I know that. And I know that he loves you and everyone. I know that he is love. I guess that's the thing. I know that he is so amazing and just, yeah, that's what I know.
When I wake up tomorrow, I will.
When I wake up tomorrow, I will. Well, I like to lay there and look out the window at the sun coming up. So that's what I usually just lay there and like I wake up. I spend a lot of time. I leave the shades cracked so that I can see that sun coming up, you know, and I think about how I should get out of bed and go for that walk. And sometimes I do, but I do. That's
Sometimes I
what,
just lay
yeah.
there. Yep.
Sometimes I just lay there, and there's something really sacred, don't you think, about you're in the covers and you haven't spoken to anyone, and you're in this sort of bubble, right? That doesn't. So I kind of like that space. So yeah, I'll be in my little bubble tomorrow.
I think that's a perfect answer, and I think that's a good reminder for everybody else too, that you can just do that. It's okay
Yeah.
just to do that. I would tell my 8th grade self that.
Oh, I would tell my 8th grade self. You know what I would tell my 8th grade self? I would tell her that she's beautiful, and I would tell her that not to worry about her zits. actually. In eighth grade, all you care about is your sits or your face or your, and there's so much concern about your looks. And I just told my ninth grader this on the way to school because she was concerned about her look. And I said, honey, you know what? It's like chocolate. I said, you are beautiful. And if I took a piece of chocolate and I snapped it in two, it's still chocolate. And I said, it's not what's on the outside. It's like, you are, that's what God says about you. You are beautiful. You are beloved. You are his child. So if I snap you open, you know, if I broke you in half, you'd still be chocolate.
And chocolate's so still good. Yeah.
It's yes. And there's nothing that changes, right? It's not like all of a sudden you're, you know, so I just think that if I could have had that settle in at that young age and really know who I was, you know, that would have been really nice. Yeah. Took a while for me. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Last one. Finding You Here by Susie Terramora is
a book that I hope, this is hard. Finding You Here is a book that I hope and pray that other people will find God in the pages. And that's my prayer that people will have their own experience and they will hear God singing his songs of love over them through the book in a very personal and very intimate way that I could never predict, but I know that he does that stuff through words and poems. So,
That's good. Well, it was so fun to have you on and to chat and to be your first podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I hope that there are many more. I am not just saying this because we are friends. I'm saying this because I truly do enjoy knowing you and then knowing your poems. They're great. Finding You Here, a poetry collection. We can get it on Amazon and your website too.
Right.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And I'll have all those links in the show notes of this episode. Susie, thank you so much for your time and for being here.
Thank you, Tanner. So much fun. I love chatting with you. Thank you so much.